Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. What could a Tier 1 research university do for North Texas? By most accounts, North Texas is the largest metropolitan area in the U.S. without such a university, and the entire state has only three: UT Austin, Texas A&M, and Rice, which is a private school. Exact definitions of what Tier 1 designation really means can vary, but there is general agreement that on the three major qualifications: a minimum of 50 degree programs, 250 PhD graduates every year, and at least $100 million in annual research spending. Here to talk about that are the presidents of the three largest public universities in North Texas. Dr. Gretchen Bataille is president of the University of North Texas. Dr. David Daniel is president of the University of Texas at Dallas. And Dr. James Spaniolo is president of the University of Texas at Arlington. Each of them would like to develop a top-level research university here in this area and are looking at some innovative ways to make that happen. Welcome, all of you.
Hello.
Thank you.
So your three universities, along with several others in the state, have been characterized as emerging research institutions. What does that mean?
I think it means, Chris, that we are actively involved in research, but we are not at the level that you just defined as Tier 1 or a major national research university. But we have high aspirations and aggressive plans to get there.
So does a larger amount of money spent on research mean better research or simply more research?
It means both, better and more research. The major research institutions have an infrastructure that enables them to conduct research in a way that smaller, less well-equipped universities can. Also, a major research university has assets across multiple disciplines where they can bring engineers, chemists, and biologists together in a critical mass with outstanding facilities, drawing in exceptional students and simply accomplish things that can't be accomplished at less research-intensive institutions.
Dr. Bataille, we'll be throwing this term around a lot today, but I know it's one that bothers you. Why is Tier 1 not your favorite way to describe what you're trying to do?
Tier 1 simply isn't descriptive enough. What we're really talking about are national research universities, the kind that David just described. Comprehensive, many disciplines, same description that you gave us with the number of graduates, the amount of research money coming in, but perhaps more comprehensive than a term Tier 1, because it's not a term that's used by other institutions across the country. So we want to sort of fit ourselves into a national profile.
So is it too inside baseball, essentially?
You mean Tier 1?
Yeah.
I'm not sure it's been used many places outside of Texas.
We are talking today about building a Tier 1 or a major research institution in North Texas. How are, and any of you can answer this and follow up on each other's answers, how are funds raised now chiefly for research? Is it mainly professors who have a project or departments that have a project and they go out and seek grant money, or how does that work?
Well, Chris, typically a faculty member in an area that is research active would write research proposals to organizations like the National Science Foundation, National Institutes of Health, and other funding organizations. They would compete with the entire nation for those funds, which are awarded based on the strongest proposals. The dollars then flow back to the university to support that research project. Most of the research money is actually used to pay the salaries of the undergraduate and graduate students who are working on the project. So it actually feeds back into the local economy and underwrites the cost of students to attend the university. The monies are also used for equipment, travel, to gather data. But that's essentially how it works, a highly competitive process to secure money for an institution.
And I think David touches on a really important aspect of a research university, and that's the economic development that grows out of the research. So you end up then with patents, you end up with technology transfer, you end up with researchers working with local companies and even attracting companies. So if you look at areas like Los Angeles or Boston, you see how many companies come into those areas because of the universities that are there that are very productive universities in terms of faculty and research, and they really draw people into those areas. So it makes a huge difference for the Dallas-Fort Worth area if we have those kinds of universities.
And I guess money also attracts money. When people who are giving out these grants and want this research performed see that any institution has earned the confidence of many others, then they're more inclined to trust them and to present them with funding.
Well, and I think this is also about building the reputation of the universities in a state or in a metropolitan area. The economic development impact of having major research universities in a community or in a state has a cumulative effect.
So since you're speaking now, Dr. Spaniello, we'll start with you. How close are each of your universities to getting to those three criteria that we mentioned as being really important?
Well, we've made a lot of progress at UT Arlington in the last 5 years. We, for example, had 150 PhD graduates in the last year. I think you mentioned 250, and the trajectory has been very significant. Perhaps most importantly, our research expenditures have grown to $60 million, which is a tripling in the last 5 or 6 years. So we feel like we're making great progress every year toward becoming a national research university.
And what areas are those research dollars concentrated in?
Mainly in the sciences and in engineering. Those are the two major areas.
Dr. Daniel, what about UTD?
Well, UT Dallas has just the right profile to evolve into a top-quality national research university or Tier 1 university. 80% of all of our degrees are awarded in science, engineering, mathematics, and business. So it's a focused university that is focused in the right areas. Our research this year is at $59.3 million, up from $45 million or so a year ago. We're at around 140 PhDs per year at our institution. So I think one would say that we can see out there in the distance our evolution to a Tier 1 university. But the reality is other universities around the nation are not sitting still just waiting for us to catch and pass them. They are aggressively pursuing their own resources, trying to make a compelling argument to their regions and states, just as we are, about the economic impact. So I guess I would just say it's a brutally competitive world out there for top talent, whether you're trying to recruit in sports or for symphony orchestras or top scientists, engineers, and faculty members. It's brutally competitive, and we just, I think, have a very strong position in North Texas to attract top talent, a vibrant economy, and I think we can do it.
Dr. Batai, what about UNT?
Well, we have a very different profile. As you know, we were created in 1890, so we've been around for a long time. And our focus for many years has been on education, on the arts, on music, visual arts. And those are not areas that bring in large research dollars. So while we have 50 doctoral programs and last year graduated over 200 doctoral students, and we meet those kinds of requirements, our research last year was only close to $30 million. So we're about half in terms of research dollars. And that's because our College of Engineering, for example, is only about 7 years old. We have invested this year $25 million in research clusters. We've already started to see the results of an investment in the science and engineering side of hiring faculty and putting money into laboratories. And so we anticipate that our growth, we've got a lot of growing to do in that third requirement for top research universities. But we believe that we're doing a lot of research. We're not doing necessarily the research that gets funded by NIH, NSF, ONR, the federal agencies that are funding the kind of research that's going on at Arlington and Dallas.
So let's talk about funding from the state level. As I understand it, there are the two universities that are at this status that we've talked about, Texas A&M and UT, get something called excellence funding from the state of Texas. What is that, and is it available to any school?
Talk about the PUF fund.
I think the excellence funding that there is funding that primarily for research that Austin and UT Austin and A&M are eligible for. There are several really separate funds right now, and nothing that's really focused on growing or building more national research universities. And that's really what the conversation is about these days, is whether the state or how the state can support the development of more national research universities.
I know that you sent a letter to the Senate's Education Committee, Dr. Daniel. Can you talk about some of the ideas that you expressed in that?
Well, the state funding in Texas is not adequate to generate a top-tier university. That's just a simple fact. One can look at it as annual funding per student and compare Texas universities to other universities around the nation, and we are thousands of dollars per student per year below the funding level of Tier 1 universities around the nation. Texas funds our institutions from its general revenue appropriations based on an average. What it does is it figures out how much it costs, for example, to educate a student in history across all the public universities in Texas, and that then becomes the reimbursement level for a history major, whether you're UT Austin or any other university. In essence, they fund the average, and that makes it extremely difficult to be anything other than average with that level of funding. So my suggestion was that the state consider pumping something like $3,000 per student per year into universities that it wished to advance to Tier 1 status. That's about the minimum needed to raise the investment level. But I also argued that I don't think the state alone can make these universities top-tier universities. I think alumni, philanthropists, communities have got to partner with the universities in order to accomplish it. So I would recommend and have recommended that we sort of get in a race with one another and see who can raise the other resources that would be necessary to become Tier 1. For example, attracting funding for graduate student fellowships or endowed faculty chairs so that we can go recruit the kind of talent then succeed that can succeed in getting those research grants. So rather than try to pick one of the universities to advance, my suggestion was let's put the money in a pool, let's let the universities compete, and let's see who does the best and reward the university that advances the fastest toward the goal of becoming Tier 1.
Are you all confident that there is room in this part of Texas for there to be more than one?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Yes.
We believe the seven emerging research universities at one time may all become research universities, similar to numbers in California, for example. We won't all get there at the same time, but you can be sure that if there is not a competitive level of funding out there, then we won't be able to have Texas have the number of competitive universities that places like California or New York or Florida have.
Is there a philosophical divide at the state level between investing resources in K-12 education as opposed to university education?
I don't know whether there's a philosophical divide, but I think there's always a competitiveness for resources, for limited resources. I mean, I think our point is that the state of Texas needs to invest in the development of more national research universities in order to strengthen Texas's economy, its citizens. Investments in higher education in our universities pay real and big dividends over the short and long term.
Yeah, we should talk about a place like Silicon Valley, for example. It didn't accidentally happen to have all these people who were brilliant at technology. They had been attracted there by these institutions.
Absolutely.
I mean, you look at Silicon Valley, what universities are close? University of California at Berkeley and Stanford University, a private university, but two of the premier institutions, research institutions in the country.
Well, Chris, go ahead.
I was going to say also the Research Triangle in North Carolina didn't happen by accident. It had UNC Chapel Hill, Duke University, North Carolina State University right there attracting the brightest minds in the country to that area.
We are talking about adding a top-level research university to North Texas with the presidents of the University of North Texas, the University of Texas at Dallas, and the University of Texas at Arlington. We'll return in just a moment, and you can join us by calling 1-800-933-5372 or send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults. Short courses in the arts, writing, and history start weekly, a part of SMU continuing and professional education. Details online at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. My guests this hour are the presidents of major state universities in North Texas. Dr. James Spagnuolo is president of UTA, Dr. David Daniel, president of UTD, and Dr. Gretchen Bataille is president of UNT. We're talking about adding a Tier 1 research university to the university system that exists in North Texas, the state university system. You can join our conversation by calling 1-800-933-5372, or you can send email to think@kera.org. And Dr. Daniel, we ran out of time before the break for you to make your comment. You wanted to say something about UT.
Well, the question is, why should we care about major research universities? And I would use UT Austin as an example of what a major research university can do for a region and a state. When I'm an alumnus of UT Austin. When I went there in another geologic epoch, it was a sleepy little hippie town with a state capital and a university out in near the hill country. Today, it's a major, major research university that brings well north of $1 billion of resources to that region and just has hugely transformed the economy of that region and even of the state. One of the most telling statistics has to do with venture capital, which is so important to creation of new business economy. Texas underperforms just in getting its fair share, if you will, based on population of venture capital to the state. But interestingly, the Austin area gets more venture capital per year than Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, and San Antonio combined. Dallas-Fort Worth, Houston, and San Antonio represent about 80% of the economy of the state of Texas. And yet little old Austin is getting more venture investment, the dollars that create the new businesses of the future, than the other 80% of the economy of the state combined. So great universities can be transformative, and we've seen an example of that here in the state of Texas.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak to Darren in Fort Worth. Hi, Darren.
Hi. My question is actually pretty straightforward. I'm currently bouncing between Tarrant County and UTA, and I want to pursue PhD studies in research and teach. My problem is that I can't afford it. I'm looking at being probably $150,000 in debt by the time it's done. How will any of this help people like me who basically can't afford to go?
Are you talking about a PhD in education?
That's what he was saying.
Okay. I'd be surprised you'd be $150,000 in debt at a public institution. None of us have tuition and fees that would come anywhere close to that. And all of us have assistantships available for graduate students. So I would certainly urge you to talk to any of our graduate deans and find out what's available at any of our institutions.
And I would add, Darren, that I mentioned earlier how the research things work. You write proposals, you get the money, and the way it works is that the dollars are used to actually pay a salary to the graduate student, and the stipend pays all of the tuition costs for the graduate student. And that really is why these research grants are so important, because the cost to a doctoral student is not only a cost, it's actually an income for them, as they have their full tuition and fee paid by the grant, and they earn a salary while they do their research. And that's why doctoral students come and go to these great research universities, because if you don't have that, it is very, very difficult to attract the best and brightest without those sorts of resources.
Well, and we've talked about increasing per capita spending on students, but this is not, at this point, expected to be achieved with a big tuition hike that has to do directly with trying to get to Tier 1.
No, not at all. I mean, what we're talking about, and I think the encouraging thing is that more and more the conversation is about how do we build more research-intensive or major public university research institutions in the state. And the importance is that the state needs to invest. We need to get our alumni, our donors to invest. This is a major comprehensive effort to build these research institutions. And that's not based on increasing tuition.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. The email address is think@kera.org. Let's go next to Maggie in Fort Worth. Hi, Maggie.
Hello. I went to school at UTA and also at North Texas. And President Spagnuolo a few years ago decided that football was not going to be part of the UTA program because it was so expensive. Yet my daughter, who attends North Texas, was in the minority in voting a new football stadium. So in a world of scarce dollars and trying to attract students, how can you justify the expense of a program like that that is just a great sucking sound of dollars, and it's going to add about $300 a semester to my daughter's fees?
I'm assuming that question is for me. Let me first say that our students did put a referendum on the ballot, and they did vote for a designated athletic fee. That athletic fee will add $105, not $300 or more, $105 per semester to student fees. The students passed that by one of the highest turnouts we've ever had for a student referendum by 58%. We have spent a lot of state funds, local funds, and donor funds to build academic buildings at the University of North Texas. And the one feature that we have not been investing in is the football stadium. It's been there since the 50s. It is in disrepair. It cannot be repaired to really serve a program. And the students support that, our donors support that, and no state funds will go into building a new football stadium. Major universities do more than teach. Major universities reach out in many ways to their constituents, and athletics is very often the window to many of our alums for coming back, for giving back, and we know that it's important to our institution.
Maggie, I would just say that every institution has to decide what its priorities are, and we all have athletic programs of one kind or another, and some decide that football is an important part of their athletic program. Others choose to go in different directions, but there isn't one right way for every institution. We're very proud of what we do at UT Arlington without football, but I would never say that that's not something possible in the future. But right now, we are concentrating on other areas at UT Arlington.
We have an email here from Brad who asks, are the universities, UT Dallas in particular, in danger of creating a high-cost infrastructure and research-heavy expensive faculty that requires high research funding simply to continue? Both businesses and governments are facing funding crises, face funding crises from time to time.
No, I don't think we're creating a beast that we have to feed, so to speak, in a way that's really a problem. I think the real issue is this. Let's assume that you're a student studying in a research-intensive area, say educational psychology, for example, and you have the chance to take a course from a faculty member who not only is talking about with his or her students the body of knowledge that exists today, but is looking forward at the body of knowledge that's being created right there in real time. The research active faculty are able to bring a level of insight and understanding and knowledge to the classroom that someone who's simply looking at what's out there in the literature never really could. And so the best research universities integrate the research mission very, very tightly with the educational mission and simply leave students empowered in a way that they couldn't otherwise be. And that's why so many of the businesses of the world recruit so heavily at these universities, because they not only understand what's happened in the past, they understand what's going to happen in the future.
We're talking about adding a Tier 1 state university in North Texas with the presidents of UTA, UTD, and UNT. Let's go next to Stephen in Denton. Hey, Stephen.
Hi. My question is for Dr. Batai. I'd first like to say that I'm a student at UNT, and actually my grandparents live across the street from you, so it's nice to finally talk to you. I was wondering, I'm a biology student, and I was wondering how UNT will plan to attract the kind of researchers and professors that'll give the high-power research to the UNT research department facilities, given the kind of prestige that the jazz department has there at UNT.
Well, it's a great question. And 2 weeks ago, we had the groundbreaking for a new life sciences complex that will have the laboratories, greenhouses, and the space to really provide for the faculty we intend to hire in a number of these research clusters. And one of the research clusters that's very closely related to biology is one on plant signaling. Biologists as well as chemists and others are working on that cluster. As you know, you may know, we invested $25 million in selecting six different research clusters, and they deal in large part with the sciences, a lot with biology, a lot with environmental studies. We have the oldest environmental studies program in the country, and a lot of research going on to look at what's happening with the environment and what contributions our faculty can make to that, to those issues.
Do you guys want to add anything about recruitment?
Chris, I wanted to add an addendum to what you said about adding a tier one or a major research university to North Texas. I think, at least in my opinion, I think and my colleagues would agree that given the size and the complexity and the dynamism of the DFW economy, that over the next 10 years or more, Dallas-Fort Worth Metroplex could support up to three major public universities, research universities.
So this is not a sort of odd man out game.
No, it isn't. It isn't a zero-sum game.
And in fact, you're all working in partnership, I know, with other institutions. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that and how that sort of helps you get a little bit closer.
Sure, I might pick up on that. One of the great partnerships we have is with UT Arlington and UT Southwestern in the biomedical arena. UT Southwestern Medical Center is one of the nation's best graduate medical education facilities and medical research facilities, and particularly with UT Arlington, UT Dallas, and UT Southwestern, all part of the same system and located sort of in a triangle with each side about 20 miles long or so. It just gives us a tremendous advantage for both of our universities. And so that's one of the big ways that we are cooperating through the biomedical research arena.
Well, the UNT system, of course, has a health science center in Fort Worth, and the health science center works also with UT Arlington. We've been working some with UT Arlington, looking at ways that we might partner in three ways, really, on some of these research initiatives. And, of course, we partner with the health science center, which is part of our system in Fort Worth.
I think there are tremendous opportunities for us to collaborate, and I think we are live in a time and in an environment where collaboration is not only essential from a financial standpoint and economically, but it is essential that we use our scarce resources in the best possible way and complement each other's efforts.
Let's talk a little also about the brain drain that exists in Texas. From what I understand, a larger number of our top high school graduates leave the state every year than comparable students that we're able to lure in from other places.
Chris, maybe I could start that discussion anyway. Texas exports about 10,000 high school graduates per year to doctoral-granting research universities in other states. We import about 4,000 high school graduates to doctoral-granting universities in the state of Texas per year. In other words, we have a net brain drain of 6,000 high school graduates leaving the state of Texas going to doctoral-granting universities in other states. These are highly qualified students. These are the kinds of students who are going to be leaders of business, of industry, of government, and they're leaving the state of Texas. And I think they're leaving the state of Texas for two reasons. Partly, one might blame the top 10% rule as having some impact, but I think the real cause, even of the top 10% problem, is the lack of more highly visible, high-reputation, tier one universities. There are only three in Texas, as we said. UT and A&M are at capacity. Little old Rice hardly takes very many Texans. It's just not really an option for most people. So without more Tier 1 universities, this problem is going to continue to get worse. Just to put this in perspective, UT Austin's freshman class is about 7,000 freshmen per year. And I said we're losing 6,000 per year. So we're more or less losing the entire freshman class every year at UT Austin, that size, leaving the state of Texas to go elsewhere. We're losing our best and brightest, unfortunately.
And I think there's a lot of research that shows very often once students leave the state and they go someplace else, they don't necessarily come back. And so that's really the brain drain in that they're not coming back here to contribute to the economy in Texas.
Yeah, and I think that that's a real lost opportunity because Texas has a strong economy, which could even be stronger if more of these students stayed in Texas. I mean, I'm somebody who moved to Texas 5 years ago from Michigan, And this is a great place to live and work and spend your life.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's speak next to Abraham in Arlington. Hi, Abraham.
Hi. I'm a proud alumni of UTA, and I had two quick questions to ask. One was a quality of life issue with students. A lot of times I have students who came from other countries that will come here to UTA, to UTD, and Dallas, and they will say, you know, they will do the research or they will do the studies, and they will go out and they will try to, you know, experience student life, other activities, games, what have you, football games or other sports or other activities. And there seems to be a lack of it, or not a lot of it. In other words, if you go to California, you get that same, you get a lot more of those activities. They're just as enjoyable staying there and doing the research as it is to have also a quality of life that goes outside that research. The second question I have was the ratio of professors teaching versus doing research. In other words, if you have a tier one university, would that mean more, you know, students teaching students, or and less professors with PhDs teaching classes? And basically, that's what I'm asking about.
All right, thanks very much. Anybody want to start?
Well, let me start with
Dr. Spaniel.
A couple of comments, Abraham. On the quality of life issues, one of the things that's very important at UT Arlington, and I think there have been a lot of changes that have taken place in the last few years, is to build a much more engaged campus life. We now have almost 20% of our students, over 4,500 students, living on campus in residence halls and apartments. We've got more than 10,000 students involved in 300 or 400 student organizations. There are literally events going on every day of the week, every week of the semester.
We will return in just a moment to finish this conversation with the presidents of UTA, UTD, and UNT. We're talking about the prospects of adding a Tier 1 state university to North Texas. Our telephone number, if you'd like to join us, is 1-800-933-5372. You can also send email to think@kera.org.
Funding for Think is made possible by SMU's informal courses for adults. Short courses in the arts, writing, and history start weekly, a part of SMU continuing and professional education. Details online at smu.edu/think.
You're listening to Think on KERA 90.1. I'm Chris Boyd. Dr. David Daniel, Dr. James Spaniolo, and Dr. Gretchen Bataille are with us today, all university presidents in Texas, and all hoping to add a top-grade research university to the North Texas area. Before the break, we had some questions, and the second question was about research universities and how much teaching the researching academics are able to do if they're receiving a lot of funding.
Well, Abraham, I would... that's a really good question, because some people assume that the research faculty or author doing research and not teaching, but they really are tightly integrated into the educational mission. When one compares the funding of our three universities to Tier 1 universities nationwide of a comparable size, there's an interesting fact to discover, and that is that if you look at the combination of state funding and tuition income for our three universities, we're about 60% of the average of comparable size Tier 1 universities nationally. And only, in other words, we only get 60% as much money. If you look at the teacher-to-student ratio, you discover it's 60% lower than the national average. In other words, the consequence of underfunding relative to Tier 1 universities nationwide is a larger class size, fewer teachers per per student. And so the Tier 1 initiative that would pump additional money into these universities would, in fact, help to address the student-teacher ratio and improve that ratio. I have no question whatsoever that a major Tier 1 initiative in Texas would significantly improve the educational mission of the institutions.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Let's go next to Fort Worth and talk to John. Hey, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Great.
I'm really glad you guys are discussing this. I'm 24. I left and went to UCLA from Texas and then came back, and I'm now in law school. And I noticed when I came back that it was really difficult to get universities that had the diverse offerings that they did out in California. And, you know, coming up in that system, I wondered why it is that the UC school system, you know, UC Davis, UCLA, UC San Diego, what had they done to make each campus so successful individually, and why it feels like it's still a little lacking with the UT system, UTA, every school but UT Austin. And I'm, of course, ignorant about it, but I was wondering if you could point out some of the things that we could do to generate a really successful system like they have with the UCs. So that was it.
Thanks for your call.
Well, one of the issues that you're really addressing in terms of California is California, many, many years ago with Clark Kerr, had a California Master Plan for Education that looked at the UC system as being the research universities, the Cal State as being the comprehensive teaching universities, and the community colleges as being the feeders into either one of those institutions. And so that master plan really has guided the development of universities there. We don't have that kind of master plan here in Texas, so that we end up with six systems. We have four independent institutions. We have a lot of community colleges. And we are not all one system in the way that California looks at higher education. And I'm not sure we're going to change that now. History has a way of sort of sticking. And I think what we're looking at now is a situation where we do have two public research universities. We have seven emerging research universities, and we have a number of other wonderful universities in this state. We, as the heads of three emerging research universities, want to see those emerging research universities move into the next category and start to have a sort of semblance of order, if you will, in what's going on in Texas so that students do have those kinds of opportunities you talk about.
No, I think, John, you make a very good point. And having experienced the University of California system, it is strong. There are many very good universities there. In Texas, we have to build our own tradition. Our history is our history. And I think the point that we're trying to make is that now is the time for, as the second largest state in the country, for Texas to invest in building major public research universities so that we will have that diversity and strength across the board. We can support that because Texas is a major state with a major economy.
Let's speak next to Dolores in Dallas. Hey, Dolores.
Yes. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Recently, I was listening on the news that one of the major or one of the vice presidential candidates ridiculed scientific research, called it she called it wasteful government spending. So unfortunately, I don't think that the local political will is here for government funding for these kind of research programs at the university level, not in North Texas anyway. And I just wanted to see if anyone had comments. I'll take my answers off the air. Thank you.
Thanks for your call. What have you seen of the political will in Texas?
I think there's a tremendous political will in Texas to improve science and engineering basic research. And we have improved in this state. One of the organizations in Texas is the Academy of Medicine, Engineering, and Science for Texas, which is a collection of all the members of the national academies as well as Nobel laureates. Actually, Senator Kay Bailey Hutchinson got this group together to try to ensure that we got as much federal funding for research as we could in this state, and we elevated the science, engineering, and medicine intellectual capital of the state. And Texas is doing better in terms of attracting research dollars. You heard my colleagues talk about the significant growth in their research funding at their institutions. I'm not going to argue that every single penny spent on scientific research is all 100% valuable, but I would argue that collectively it may be the most important thing that we do for securing our future. You know, the world has just changed so much. It used to be that we built to grow our economy factories and smokestacks. Today, in this globally competitive, knowledge-based economy, what we build is universities. We build brains. That's the investment of the future. So this research is just crucial. And if people haven't been to Singapore or Beijing or other countries of the world, just look at what they're doing. Actually, what they're doing is copying what we did in this country in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. They're building great world-class research universities, essentially replicating ourselves. And I think the saddest thing to me would be if they pass us simply because we sort of fell asleep while they redid what we did in the past.
Does it go without saying that if any one or all of the universities that you had it becomes a major research university, that the standards for undergraduates entering the school will be increased, and therefore it's harder for students who may have done well but not exceptionally well to get into those schools?
No, I think the real answer is that we will attract more better students, but we will still serve a broad a range of students, and I think that I can speak just for my institution. We like to believe and really do believe that there is a value added by having as diverse a student population as possible in every way that you can measure diversity. And students are not preordained to be good students based on the way they come in the front door. There is a transformative effect that takes place by being at a university, and I think it's important to remember that.
Well, I think earlier also you talked about the K-12 and universities, and we're not in competition with one another because it is very important for us for the K-12 institutions to be doing a good job. And to that end, all of our universities work closely with summer programs, with early college high schools, with ensuring that we're getting better prepared students because we're helping the K-12 system ensure that those students are better prepared, because there's no question but that we really want well-prepared students.
And Chris, I would just add that it's so sad to me that Texas ships out of state 6,000 high school graduates per year to go to universities out of state. This is such a great state. This should be the greatest importer of top talent around the nation because we are such a vibrant economy. And I think that these universities are all about talent. And maybe the quality of the institutions would all rise a bit, but I think all of us have just terrific programs to ensure access and success at our institutions, so I wouldn't worry about that.
1-800-933-5372 is our telephone number. Next on the line, we have Paul in Flower Mound. Hello, Paul.
Hi, Chris. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Hi. I'm a junior radio, television, film student at the University of North Texas, and RTVF is a very popular major at UNT. A lot of kids want to be part of that department, and the department just doesn't have the facilities or the faculty to handle the demand, and so the result is that the students are asked to jump through hoops, and it becomes very difficult to study in that department. And so my question is, as the research dollars come into these universities, what can be done to ease the strain on the departments that are popular and in demand, but that don't bring in the dollars themselves?
Well, I think that's a great question. And in fact, you know, we like to say a rising tide raises all boats. And you'll be pleased to know that RTVF is getting some additional funding for equipment because we recognize that they have that need. And so through our reallocation process, your department will be getting some new funding for equipment. We recognize there are popular majors. At the same time, we have to populate all of our courses with faculty. And I think you heard Dr. Daniels talk about if we had the kind of funding, it really would spread out and would enable us to hire in many areas, in many fields. In terms of research, the Spanish Language Media Center in your department is one that, in fact, has brought in research dollars and at the end of the day has helped support students because of those research dollars. We just need to do more of it in every department in whatever ways they're able to bring in the external funding.
Do you have a timeline? Do any of the three of you have a timeline by which time you would like to be counted among that number of, if we want to call them tier one universities or major research universities?
I think we're really looking at over the next decade. I mean, it's difficult to be precise to say, well, we could do it in 7 years or 9 years. I think it's the next decade and beyond. That's really the time frame I think we're looking at. But it needs what is needed is sustained support from the state for institutions like ours. And then we all need to do a better job, a great job, in raising other funds from other sources.
Same timeline?
Yes.
All
yes.
Okay. And once again, I guess, do you have a horse race with each other? You've talked about competing for funds on the state level. Is it a matter of sort of trying to swoop in, maybe not the North Texas universities, but do you want to swoop in and get money away from UTEP? Or how does that go?
Our competition is not each other. The competition for Texas is outside of this state. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're competing for federal grants with Caltech. We're competing for federal grants with Chapel Hill. And that's the competition.
Gretchen's absolutely right. And in fact, these three universities have many complementary programs. There's not a finer music program anywhere than UNT. And we collaborate strongly with UT Arlington in several areas, including their great medical devices work. Look, having multiple terrific universities is not harmful. Does Harvard suffer because MIT's right across the street? Does Berkeley complain because Stanford's right across the bay? No. In fact, when you build multiple great institutions, it truly is a rising tide that brings companies, it brings resources, it brings talent. So I wish my colleagues all the success in the world. The more successful they are, the more successful Dallas is, and the more successful I am.
Is money the only significant impediment?
Well, I think it's what money represents. Money is the vehicle. The financial support is the vehicle to get the intellectual talent and the facilities that are necessary. But I would just echo what my colleague said. I think we're all cheering for one another, but it's probably true that each of us wouldn't mind being first.
Dr. Bataille, I guess it gives you the last word. Is there anything you'd like to add on the subject?
Well, I would just say that thank you for having us here today and an opportunity to really talk about how important research universities are to the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I love my colleagues. We have been working together since I got here 2 years ago. And I really believe this is the chance for Texas this year, given the economy across the country, to really make a splash all over by saying we support higher education. I think the legislature has an opportunity this year to really be recognized so that we can, in fact, be drawing some of these quality students and quality faculty from all over the country and have them end up here in Texas.
Well, good luck to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chris.
We have been talking about adding a top-level research institution to the state university system that exists here in North Texas with Dr. Gretchen Bataille, who's president of UNT, Dr. David Daniel, president of UTD, and Dr. James Spagnolo, president of UTA. My name is Chris Boyd. Thank you for listening, and have a great day.
Think is produced by Jeff Whittington and engineered by Jeannie Mascoro. Learn about upcoming programs, subscribe to our free daily podcast, and order CD copies of your favorite Think shows on the radio page of KERA.org. And we'd like to hear what you think about Think. Email your comments, questions, and suggestions to think@KERA.org.